We are continuing in a series called Divine Embrace. During this series, we've looked at different aspects of Scripture to give to us wisdom as to how we're made, not only how we're made, but how we're made for relationships and healthy, flourishing relationships with ourselves, with God. And last week, we talked about how we're made for healthy relationships with each other. And we talked about the different aspects of that. And one of the things that inevitably is on everybody's mind when we talk about relationships with one another is not only are they beautiful, not only are they encouraging to us, not only can they be a source of great love, they keep breaking, right? Like the relationships that we have with each other, they keep fracturing. Do you guys remember 2020? Yeah, remember 2020? So that was a little bit ago. And in 2020 was an apocalypse. And what I mean by apocalypse is just the word that means unveiling. So if you've ever been to a fancy restaurant where they bring the meal out on a platter with the thing over top of it, and they did that, and then they remove the top, and then voila, the meal, right? That is an apocalypse. It's an unveiling. And what 2020, and frankly, multiple times throughout human history, but I think for us, 2020 was definitely a flashpoint. It unveiled fractures that existed beneath the surface for many of us. There were fractures that existed, and then kind of like a volcano, like the lava just started coming up through the cracks, and then. And so we're talking about how the scriptures give to us a Jesus-centered wisdom related to our relationships with ourselves, with God, and with one another. And the series that we've been going through is called Divine Embrace. We're looking at the reality that God has called us to enter into an embrace with the triune God, also with ourselves and with others. And the difficulty with embracing others is their other. And our differences sometimes. So how do we approach one another when there's a fracture in the relationship, when there's division between us, when there's conflict? How do we approach one another when we seek to restore or reconcile broken relationships? That's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be in Galatians chapters 5 and 6. I'd encourage you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, did you guys get a handout? I think it's in the handout, right? So the text is also in the handout. If you don't have a Bible and want one, there's some available on the table in the back there. And for those of you all joining us online, just open up a new browser and we'll be go to Bible.com, and we'll be using the Christian Standard Bible today. But we're thinking about fractures, and relationships are kind of like vessels. They're kind of like a cup or a bowl where they hold a lot. Our relationships with one another, they hold. They hold a lot of love. They hold a lot of compassion. Hopefully, they hold a lot of grace. Our healthy relationships with one another are like vessels that hold meaning and love and in fact, I have a vessel right here. Listen. Okay, hold on. I got to talk to you guys about something. I am not good at props. I am not good at stories or props. I'm a public communicator, and every book I read and every TED Talk I listen to about public communication, you know the two things they tell you to do all the time? Stories and props. So I suck at stories and props. So if you could just humor me, please. I'm trying for you people, okay? Now, okay, time out over. Let's go back. So relationships are like a vessel. Yeah, some of you are imagining a vessel, and now you don't have to because I brought one right here for you to see, okay? So relationships are like vessels, and conflict, right, whatever it might be. So like politics, what's something else that causes conflict in our relationships? You guys talk to me about it. Money. Pride. You guys are acting like your relationships are perfect. Come on, what else? Jealousy, huh? Religion, yeah, different religious convictions. What else? What else causes division with our relationships? Sports.
Dallas Cowboys.
Shallow. Okay, well, right? And so whatever the thing is, it can just kind of sometimes break apart our relationships, and our relationships are fractured. We're no longer able, when the relationship's fractured, they are no longer able to hold the good. And for many of us right now, we have experienced and we're thinking about just the remains. There's this beauty, though, in Scripture, this beautiful truth that the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ who was raised from the dead, who conquered over Satan, sin, and death, there's this beautiful truth in Scripture that the Spirit of the living God can actually take that which is broken and make it whole again. There's this ancient Japanese technique of using gold mixed with resin to mend broken vessels. The interesting thing about this technique, and huge props to my wife for doing this, the one I tried was not good, so. The interesting thing about this technique is, do you see that at the points of the fracture, it's actually strongest there. That the vessel becomes stronger at the point of the mend. In this ancient technique, you also see not only scars, but notice the gold. You see a unique beauty that is only able to be seen because of the fracture and the reconciliation. And so if you've experienced broken relationships, I want to invite you to hope. I want to invite you to hope. To hope in the Spirit of the living God's power to make that which is presently broken whole again. The very center of the faith that Jesus calls us to is a crucifixion, and then 3 days later, what? A resurrection. That which is broken and dead becoming whole and living again. And so as we think about our broken relationships, I want to invite us to spend the remainder of our time together thinking about and meditating on how we might approach that relationship, how we might approach God, ourselves, and the other. Now, I want to give a little disclaimer. There's going to be, for many of us, all of our broken relationships are unique. And there's going to be unique questions that we have. And I'm not going to, do you guys want to do a 14-hour sermon? No. Someone said, sure, you're on, I'll do it. Right, so just for the sake of space, we're going to do kind of a flyover, and what I want to caution us against is taking what we're doing as a flyover in a big group and trying to force that into our specific broken relationships. There's many times where we need very specific counseling, mentoring, and input on a specific broken relationship, and so what we're going to do is kind of an overview about how we're going to approach ourselves in the act of or in the space of broken relationships, seeking to be reconciled. But I want to also invite you today at 11 o'clock in this room. We're going to host, we call it our deep dive, where we're just taking a deeper look at something that was related to the sermon. But what we're going to do today in today's deep dive is we're going to actually have some space for direct questions. So if you have a specific broken relationship and if you're feeling free to share and ask questions, we'll be available for you there. Also, we'll do Q&A, not Q&A, I don't have all the answers. We'll do question and response also just for anything related to the whole series, if that's okay. So we'd love to have you join us at 11 o'clock today here in this room. Also, there's a ton of great groups and studies that are going on all over the campus at 11, and you can find out more about those in your handout. I strongly encourage you to participate in those. As we think about fractured relationships and we think about our posture towards them, we're going to look at Galatians 5, verses 22 through 6:3. This is kind of a famous text as we think about our posture in conflict. And remember, we're placing our hope in the Spirit of the living God. Watch me now. We're not placing our hope in our own power. We're not placing our hope in, you know, the ambiguity of the universe fixing things. We're placing our hope in the active, living presence of Christ through his Spirit in our relationships. Like, I don't think, so you know who is the number one problem in my relationships? Me. And so do you think I can fix them? Right? On my own power, I just keep messing them up. I show up with a hammer to all my relationships, right? I need the Spirit to do a work on me. And I'm going to actually jump to the chase here. I have some news, and you're not going to like it. Okay? Many of us are like, Common, Campbell. Okay. The majority of the work that needs to be done in all of your broken relationships is not in them. It's in you. So our posture is one of owning what we can do. In recovery programs, it's called keeping your side of the street clean. Right? It's easy for me to look over at your side of the street and be like, nah, you got to fix that. But I'm responsible for my side. And so we're going to look at Galatians 6. Okay, so check this out. Remember, our hope is in the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit, someone might ask? I'm glad you asked. Well, here in Galatians 5, at the end of 5, you have this. It's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a church. And the reason that he's writing this church in a place called Galatia, that's why the book is called Galatians, the reason that he's writing is because the church is fighting. They're having relational conflict. They're fighting. And he says, okay, so our hope for reconciliation is in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, TV timeout, Facebook, kindness, keep going, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and to all my Pentecostals. I snuck it in there. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so in my broken relationships, in the space of my broken relationships, I'm putting my heart, my heart and my hope in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, as I'm tethering myself to the Spirit, as I'm being led by the Spirit, I know that I'm being led by the Spirit when I see in me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want you to think about the people you hate. I want to invite you to consider the people who hate you. I want to invite you to consider, imagine right now those fractured relationships. To be led by the Spirit, when we're entering into those spaces of fractured relationships, we know that we're following the Spirit, not when we're all saying the same thing or agreeing with the thing or they're changing my mind or I'm changing their mind. We notice that we're being led by the Spirit when we are exhibiting, entering into those spaces, when we are exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How might our community be different if we took on this posture of practicing the fruit of the Spirit at places of division? So whatever your political party is that you like, which by the way, they put party in there, it's not very fun lately, is it? Like I showed up to a political party and I was like, this is not fun. It's different. It's kind of like a church party. It's not really fun, lots of fun. So anyway, right, whatever your political commitments, I want you to think about the other team. So if you're on the red team, I want you to think about the blue team. If you're on the blue team, think about the red team. If you're on the green team, thank you for recycling. Whatever your team is, right, creation care, Genesis 1 and 2, look it up. Okay, so whatever your team is, and when you think about your posture towards them, watch this now, when you think about how you imagine them to be, when you're in spaces where you're able to or called to or available to engage with them, just notice, am I being led by the Spirit with the other team? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What would it be like? So I'm an evangelical Christian. Some of you guys are too. Let me ask you this question. What would it be like if evangelical Christians in America, in Phoenix for that matter, were marked by this as they engaged in their political discussions? Big deal, okay? So just want to notice that. The fruit, it's not fruits, it's one thing. Like, the whole thing is just the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So let's keep going. You know, like, when you're about to go into those conversations with people where the relationship is fractured or there's tension, I want to invite you to pray. Just pause, like 30 seconds, pause. Before you enter into that space, before you walk into the room, before you pick up the phone, just pause and pray, Lord, would you give to me the fruit of your Spirit? How might our behavior be different if we approached every broken relationship or tense relationship or fractured relationship asking the Lord that we might be beacons of the fruit of the Spirit? Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Passions and desires. This is interesting. Love this. Just immediately up in chapter 5, verse 19, immediately before the fruit of the Spirit, these are the fruit or the works of the flesh, what Paul calls the flesh. So just our worldly, kingdoms of this world self. It says this in Galatians 5, 19. Now, the works of the flesh, watch this now, are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, TV timeout. Do you think the evangelical church talks about those a lot? Yes, we do, okay, right? It's like all the way up to 11. Now watch this now. You might even get the impression like those are the only ones, or those are the major ones. No, watch this now. Idolatry. Right, placing things that are created over the Creator. America, hello? Capitalist, am I talking to a bunch of capitalist individualists up in here? Yeah, taking good things and making them ultimate things, okay? Sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. These are all the fruit or the works of our fleshly self, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, watch this now, dissension, disunity, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. Notice at the very center is disunity, divisiveness, right? We recognize we disagree, and the work of the flesh is, let's separate, you're trash. And like I'm a pastor as of now. See how the rest of the sermon goes. And I have noticed that there's something really broken about the American church. Is we look less like this and more like this, fractured and spread out, disunified, practicing the works of the flesh with one another. This may be, by the way, a place for repentance and confession. If we live by the Spirit, where's our hope? It's in the Spirit of the living God. That's right, okay? So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in... Okay, watch this now. Okay, so Jesus said to his followers, listen to the language, to his followers, he said, he goes to everyone, he's like, hey, everyone, turn from your sin, turn back to God, repent, turn, and follow me, right? We talk a lot about Christianity, which is fine, but the original word for people who followed Jesus wasn't Christianity, it was people of the way. That they walked the way, that they, watch this now, let us also keep in, okay, so being a person who's led by the Spirit is day by day, moment by moment, step by step. Any Rich Mullins fans in the house? He's like the one CCM person I actually like from the 90s. Okay, so Rich Mullins, he did this famous song, Step by Step, You Lead Me. So this step, to walk in step, to walk every step, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, every step, to be led by the Spirit. We don't need to know what we're going to do a year from now. Our prayer is, Lord, would you be a light unto my path lamp unto my feet. Also, 70s CCM, Amy Grant. Okay, so there you go. Let us not become conceited. She's not very good, by the way. So let us not become conceited. Okay, let us not become conceited, Pastor Caleb. Okay, you see what I did there? Application. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, Facebook, provoking one another, envying one another. They're so much, but look at how much wealth they have. Look at how much power they have. They're so much greater than we are. Let us not be a people that are about these things, but let us walk step by step in line with the Spirit. One of the things that we say here at Desert Springs is that we're a bunch of misfits. We're not bound together by our common affinities. We're not bound together by our political commitments. We're not bound together by our ethnicities, our socioeconomic status. We're bound together by nothing more than the love and grace of God made known to us through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus brings together misfits. It's all over your New Testament. Look it up. When Jesus brings misfits together, they do communion stuff, they sing songs and stuff, they do Bible stuff. You know what else they do a lot of in the New Testament? Fight. The majority of your New Testament was written from pastors right into congregations saying, Jesus rose from the dead, knock it off! It's completely normal for misfits to have conflict. In fact, at Desert Springs Bible Church, we make a 100% guarantee. I'm gonna make you this 100% guarantee. I'll make it until I'm done here. 100% guarantee that you will be sinned against by people in this congregation, and I'll probably be the worst one. Be warm and filled, right? Like, are you happy now? Like, you will, we will, because we're living our real lives with each other. Listen, here's a great metric for spiritual growth. You guys wanna know, like, if you're growing spiritually? Ready? It's a great metric. 50% of the time that you are living open-faced, open-hearted with someone else in your congregation, at least 50% of the time that you engage with your church in good faith and in truth, 50% of the time you will feel frustrated, angry, disappointed, sad, confused, or just full of rage. Probably 40 to 60% of the time. Why? Because we're a bunch of misfits, not bordered in by all of our common affinities, but we're all like Jesus is the center and we're all coming from our different perspectives towards Jesus together. And when we see the person across the table that Jesus is bringing to the table, we say, I don't like that person. Did you see their bumper sticker? Demon. They got that Demon Dutch Bros bumper sticker up in here. I ain't got no time. I'm a press coffee all day. That demonic, right? Don't we do that to each other? Take out coffee and put in everything else. It is common for us to say something or do something in the context of a church family that causes someone else to feel upset, angry, disappointed, sad, confused. And here's the deal. Here's the spiritual growth metric. Is when we feel those things, is to say, Lord, I want to live in step with the Spirit and to approach the other person in good faith and then be about the business of the reconciling work of the Spirit. I have another number. It's 10. 100% guarantee you'll be sinned against. 50% of the time, you're going to feel angry, frustrated, disappointed, sad, whatever, and 10%. You're going to hate 10% of the decisions we make here because we're not a cult. So, like, it's a feature, not a bug, that you don't like some of the decisions. You say to yourself, well, I would do it differently. Yep, we're a bunch of misfits, bound together, not by our common affinities, and not because we all like the same things, but we're bound together by Christ. And so we must be a people then who, if we're going to actually like share communion together in real life, to be a people who live in step with the Spirit. Watch this now. I love this. This is my favorite verse in the, can you do favorite verses in the Bible? This one's mine. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken, I love that language, it's caught up. If someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing or evil, you who are spiritual, okay, what's he mean by you who are spiritual? Those who walk by the, okay, who live in step with the Spirit. You who are living in step with the Spirit, what's the word? So if you know someone who's in sin, who you think is sinning, you know what your posture is? To walk in step with the Spirit and to seek to, what's the word? Restore. How? With a gentle love, joy, peace, patience. How long, O Lord, should I put up with their dumb ideas? How long, O Lord, will I suffer their heresy? How long, O Lord, should I give to them for you to change them? Which is actually, Lord, when are you going to fix them? And the Lord says to those of us who are walking in step with the Spirit, patience. For those of you who have been following Jesus for more than a few minutes, let me ask you a question. Has it taken time for the Lord to do work on you? Are you thankful for the patience of the Lord? And so if we are made in his image, then when we're approaching one another in those places of fracture, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the way, if you're stepping into, here's a good like little red flag. If you're stepping into a space of reconciliation and you feel out of control, it's time to take a step back. If you feel like you can't control, want to invite you as you think about restoration. I want you to imagine those broken relationships again, if you don't mind. I know it's hurtful and sucks and all that, but I just want you to imagine them. And I want to invite you to pray that God would give to you a Christ-centered vision of restoration for them. To put it another way, what is a Christ-centered dream for their restoration that you hold? I could tell you that for the people that I have conflict with, you know what I daydream about? All the arguments I win. And every argument I have with them, without them there, I win. I want to invite you, instead of fantasizing and daydreaming about their destruction, what would it be like to daydream a Christ-centered restoration, a vision of their restored life, or a vision for your restored relationships? It may feel, now check the, it may feel like a pipe dream, but Christ is risen. His Spirit lives within us, and Jesus is all about the work of taking that which is dead and raising it to life again. And Jesus loves you so much. He is nearer to you than you are to yourself. And Jesus loves them so much, and he is nearer to them than they are to their own self. And Jesus knows where the brokenness is, and the power of the living God knows how to bring healing in those broken spaces, in those fractured places. And when we entrust ourselves to the Spirit, we can find healing. And I can't make them walk in step with the Spirit, can I? But what I can do is do my part. Lord, help me in this relationship to walk in step with the Spirit. Watch this now. If you've overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, seek to restore such a person with a gentle spirit. Watch this. When you're wronged in a relationship and you want to destroy the other person, do you like this? No. You know what feels so good, like the best, just is vengeance. I love vengeance, hot, cold, I don't care. I love it. It feels so good. And I nurture and feed thoughts of vengeance and getting mine. This is difficult, And this is my favorite line in the text. Oh, not this one. Watching out for yourselves that you too may won't also be tempted. Because when you're living in step with the Spirit, but you're going into spaces of reconciliation, you know what we're tempted to do? Shatter the glass again. Especially if they do it first. Right? They pull out the sword and we're like, sword time, fine. You know, Spirit can go. This, watch this now. This idea of living in step with the Spirit, stepping into those places of fractured relationships, tense relationships, broken relationships. I love this. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Jesus said it himself. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. What do I do then, Jesus, when my neighbor and I are having, well, you walk in step with the Spirit, and I love this. How can I love then my enemy in this situation? How can I love the one with whom I have conflict with? Carry one another's burdens. It is a weight to carry the peacemaking process of reconciliation. In the carrying of the weight, I am loving my neighbor as myself. I am loving my enemy, and I'm loving God. We are made for divine embrace. Christ calls us to union within the triune Godhead. He calls us to union and flourishing with ourselves. He calls us to union and flourishing with one another because we are made like God, and God is eternally in community, so too we are made to be in community. But when community breaks and fractures, the solution is what we were invited into in the first place, to live in step with the Spirit, to live out life in the triune Godhead and in his community, to live love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And in so doing, seeking their reconciliation, I carry their burdens, and in so doing, love my neighbor as myself. Here's a question I want to invite you to ask those with whom you have fracture. If they're a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to ask this question. Christ prays for our unity. What do you think he wants us to do now? Two, Christ is present with us by the power of his Spirit. How is his Spirit leading us here now? We can have the discussion about where we have conflict, but let's just start with that the Spirit of the living God has bound us together and desires our reconciliation. So where is he leading us? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we know that you love us. I find this to be an impossible teaching. And yet you have risen. And so, Lord, we place our trust in you, that you, by the power of your Spirit, will do the reconciling work of restoring fractured, broken relationships. Regardless of the source of our division with one another, Lord, would you unify us? Would you heal us? Would you give to each of us a sense of your delight in us, your love for us? Give to us a wisdom to know how it is, moment by moment, that we're to walk in step with your Spirit. We pray for healing. We pray for healing in this church. I pray for healing in the relationships that are represented here. Pray for healing, Lord, in our city. We ask these things, Jesus, knowing that this is what you desire and that you're powerful to bring it about, and so we entrust ourselves to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.